This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
Good morning. My name is Dale Williams. I'm one of the preaching team and also pastor of Congregational Care. So good to be here with you this morning. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you were in a meeting devoted to prayer? That was the object of the meeting, and that's how you spent your time together. Even in normal times, those kinds of meetings were sort of rare, weren't they? But in these times of pandemic, they are really rare. In fact, it's very difficult to get together to pray. My observation is that one of the consequences of this COVID pandemic is that praying together has taken a hit. It's difficult for us to maintain our close relationships and our fellowship. One lady asked me, "When will it ever be normal again to hug my friends?" As a result, it's hard to encourage one another. It's hard to keep each other accountable. It's easy to become lonely and discouraged, and it's very hard to pray together. And yet, when you read through the book of Acts, as Janine has just done a couple of texts there, you notice that the early church spent a lot of time praying together. It was one of the important parts of their fellowship as a church. Let me just point out some of the other texts. We didn't read all of them in the book of Acts. They lifted their voices together in chapter 4, and the filling of the Holy Spirit fell after they had prayed together. In chapter 6, when Peter had been arrested and put in prison, and Herod was threatening to execute him, the church chose and entered into prayer together. Earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. And when he escaped miraculously, he found many were gathered together and were praying. In chapter 6, when they were having a problem with the distribution of food to the widows, they chose 7 elders and they prayed and laid their hands on them. It was after fasting and prayer that the church in Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas out on the first missionary journey in chapter 13. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord, chapter 14. And even at the end of that book, in an emotional goodbye to the Ephesian elders, Paul knelt down and prayed with them all. Prayer was a habit and a practice of the early church. Interestingly enough, however, the book of Acts doesn't give us any specific pattern or any set of rules on how to pray together. And at this pivotal time in our country, I think it's very important for us not to lose this practice of prayer together. Corporate prayer is so important. And yet we are at liberty in each local church to design and devise our own habits, our own ways of praying together. But we dare not lose this habit. We've been using a book for this series by David Mathis on the habits of grace. And he emphasizes the importance of praying together. You can look at the screen there and you can get to the places where you can download free of charge the PDF of this book, or you can order it online. But this is what he says about corporate prayer. Prayer is for all of life, and especially for our life together in community. When we follow the lead of the Scriptures, we not only practice prayer in private, but take its spirit of dependence and trust into the rest of our day and into times of focused prayer together with fellow believers. The high point of all pervasive prayer outside of the closet door is praying together with other Christians. And I know, he says, arranging for accompaniment in prayer takes more energy than a whispered prayer while we're on the move. It takes planning and initiative and syncing of schedules in a way that private prayer does not. But it is worth every ounce of effort, end quote. What the Bible does make clear that there is a very great blessing, a benefit, joys that come when we join together in prayer. Yes, we learned last Sunday from Zach that private prayer is essential to our life and our relationship with God. Prayer is primarily about a relationship more than it is about asking for things that will make our life more comfortable. Prayer is about a relationship. But praying together with other members of the family of God brings added joy and depth to our Christian experience and our relation with God and with others. So maybe you haven't thought about this very much, but there are some unexpected joys of praying together. And I want to look at some of those this morning. First of all, corporate prayer brings more glory to God. When we pray and thank and praise God together, we multiply the glory that we bring to God. Now, Paul gives this principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, "You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." It seems to me he's saying the more you pray and praise God, and the more God is honored with much thanksgiving. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." It's clear God wants to bring glory to himself and to his name. And one way to do that is to get a lot of people to ask him for a lot of things, so that when he answers, a lot of people are saying thanks to him and giving lots of glory to him. He gets more glory when there is corporate prayer. Let me give an illustration from our own church family. Most of you know that we have been praying for over 2 months for Tanner Randall. And I have permission, in fact, the encouragement from that family to share this story with you. For over 2 months, he has been seriously ill with intestinal problems. He has had at least 3 surgeries, one to remove his gallbladder. And because of previous surgeries, it was difficult to locate and treat the real problem, and several treatments were tried. And finally, last week, they found the source of the problem and were able to remove the blockage. And this has been a great emotional roller coaster for the family, including his dear wife, Nikki, and their twin boys, aged 8. And so we have put these requests on the prayer list many times, and we have 85 people on that list who have prayed for Tanner and the family. There are other churches also, one in Wyoming, three in Colorado Springs, plus many other friends that have been praying for Tanner and his family. And many people prayed, and last week we were praising God, lifting our hearts in joy for this answer to prayer because of God's faithfulness and his steadfast love. And it was great to see finally there was a solution to his problem. Because corporate prayer, many people saw that answer to prayer, and they praised God and brought glory to his name. That is one of the joys of praying together. But as most of you know, the roller coaster ride for the Randall family has taken another plunge. Last Friday, the pathology results showed that Tanner has cancer somewhere in the tissues of his intestines. And this sad news plunges us again, all together, into an urgent mode of prayer, asking for God's healing and his work in their life. And this leads me to the second unexpected joy of praying together. It is this: when we pray together, it releases the power of God to work effectively in our lives and in our world. For this, I want to call your attention to the text in John chapter 15, when Jesus is teaching about the vine and the branches. And he taught his disciples how they were to be effective in ministry. He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." That's verse 16. Now follow the logic here. I have appointed you to bear fruit. And how are we to bear fruit? You are to pray together for fruit, for the spiritual results in your life and ministry. And as you pray, I will answer and produce the fruit in and through you. If I understand it, that's the logic. Do you see? Prayer is an essential part of the work of the body of Christ to bear fruit. Prayer is designed for ministry, for spiritual work. It is not just to meet our personal needs and make our lives easier. It is for spiritual warfare, for battle, for effective ministry, for bearing fruit in our lives and in our church. Now dig a little deeper with me on this. When I read that text, I usually, almost always, applied it to myself, to my personal walk with God. Up until now, I have viewed the passage like this. If I, Dale Williams, abide in Christ, and I, Dale Williams, seek God and have communion with him at all times, then I, Dale Williams, will bear much fruit, or he will bear the fruit through me. It is true that Jesus does care about me personally abiding in the vine, but that is not how Jesus addresses his disciples in this text. The "you" mentioned in this passage is not singular, it's plural. To make it a little easier, let me take the "you" in this and say, "you all, my church." And let me reread the text. "You all, my church, abide in me, and I in you all, the church. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you all unless you all abide in me. I am the vine. You all, the church, are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you all can do nothing. If you all abide in me and my words abide in you all, ask whatever you all wish, and it will be done for you all. By this my Father is glorified, that you all, the whole church, bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. That puts a whole new slant on it, doesn't it? We conclude, I think, from these that God works mightily in our hearts and in our lives when we join together in prayer. Prayer is the power that moves the arm that moves the world. So, let's join together as we continue to pray for Tanner Randall and the whole list of others who need that special work of grace in their lives. By praying all together, God is released to respond and produce the results that he wants that will bear fruit in our ministry. It is one of the unexpected joys, isn't it, of praying together. God will work mightily to produce fruit as we join together in prayer. But there's a third joy, and that is corporate prayer encourages unity in the body of Christ. Please note that unity and effective prayer go together. Let me repeat exactly what Jesus said. If two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 18. Now think about this for a minute. Imagine that you're one of those gathered together to pray, and you hold a grudge against the other one that's right next to you. It's pretty hard to pray, isn't it? And to pray earnestly when you are angry with the person next to you. The same thing is true in marriage. We are told in 1 Peter chapter 3, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to pray with your wife or your husband when you're angry with them? My wife, Jan, and I have found that it's almost impossible to pray when we've just had a big argument. Yes, it's happened several times. And when I'm upset with her, and it comes time to pray together, and we bow our heads, there's this little moment of silence, and then I just have to say, I just can't do it. And then we have to stop and talk and work through the issue and settle our differences before we can come together in prayer. You see, when there is anger and broken relationships and bitterness and blaming, it's hard to pray together. So that's why Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 5 that our relationship with others affects our prayers to God. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, he said, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So praying together encourages us to be reconciled, to resolve our differences, to confess our sins one to another, and to unite before the Lord in prayer. What a joy it is to pray together, because it increases the glory that comes to God. It releases God's power so that He can work mightily among us. And it encourages us to come together. It unites us and brings us into one spirit. So how can we do that? Let me close with just a few suggestions. They're very simple ones. The first one is use the telephone. Now, that's an old-fashioned idea, isn't it? Maybe you're burned out with Zoom, but let me tell you, using the telephone can be very effective. Someone called me this last week, and they just wanted to know, how are you doing? And we talked, and they listened, and then they prayed for me. And I can tell you, it lifted my spirit for the rest of that day and the week. How effective, how useful it was to just pray, have somebody. It let me know that I wasn't alone. My second suggestion is make use of the prayer chain. I mentioned that we have 85 people on that list, and they get the prayer requests that you share with us, and they are praying. Believe me, they are praying. God answers prayer. Alfie Christian was in the hospital, and the doctor said, you will not leave this hospital alive. But she did, and she's home now because of prayer. So I ask you now, go to our online, sharethelife.org. It's there on the screen. Go to that website, and there is a card there, a click thing, connection card. Click on that. And you can put in your prayer requests, write them out. You can indicate whether they're confidential only for the elders or whether we can share them with the whole prayer team. You could also even sign up for the prayer team and become part of this team of prayer warriors. Let people know about your needs and share with them. Let's become a praying church. That in this time of pandemic, we are not going to let it close down our corporate praying. You can become a partner of this. So go to the website and say you want to be a part of the prayer team. My third suggestion is this. Call up some people, a group of people that you know in the church, and set up a time to pray together for the same thing in the next few days. I did that for this service and for this sermon. Last week, I called a few people, and I asked them to pray for me, to pray for this message, to pray for you, the worship team, the tech team, and all the parts of this service, so that there are a group of people that have been praying specifically for this time and for this message and for you. I really sincerely believe that if God is touching your heart today, it's not because of the speaker up here on the platform. It's because some prayer warriors have touched the ear of God behind the scenes. One of the dear ladies that is praying is not even here. She's in the nursing home, but she's praying right now for you and for this message. I really believe that God is released to work mightily and to bear fruit, not when we speak eloquently, but when we pray together. What if you called up some people, some fellow believers this week, and you set up a time to pray with them about something, a burden on your heart, some ministry, something that we need to be praying about. Could I ask some of you, for example, to pray for our new president and the transition of power in our country and for peace in our country? Raise your hand. Would you be willing to join me this week, every day at noon, to pray for our country? Would you do that? At noon, for the next 5 days, we pray for our country. The college students are coming back this week. I know tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day, but then I think, if I understand it, they're coming back. And yeah, the traffic will get worse, but they're, and some of them are not even coming back because it is so difficult to have classes and they're just learning virtually, and so that some of them are even staying home. But we need to be praying for our college students. We need to be praying that they will be kept safe and that they can use this time, even during the pandemic, to further their studies and that they can be drawn closer to the Lord. Would you, some of you, would you join me in praying for the next 5 days for the college students who are coming back to CSU? Would you, some of you, join me for that? Will you join me? Let's pray together for our college students. This is the Right to Life Week. Right to life, when we honor those who are expecting and maybe having an unexpected pregnancy, but we want to pray that God will protect them and bring those children into life and bring them up in the Lord. We need to pray for this. Would you join me for prayer for that? Yes. So I'm asking you now, will you just simply, it's a very simple thing. Get on the phone, call up 5 or 6 or 10 people, and it doesn't take very long, and just ask them, will you join me in prayer at maybe a specific time or for the next 5 days and pray for this specific thing? And suddenly we have groups of people all through our church family who are joining together in prayer. Let's not let this pandemic put a hit on our corporate prayer. Let's let Life Point Church be known that even in the pandemic, we are a church that prays. Because when we pray to God and pray together, God is glorified in many, many ways. His power is released to work. And we are brought together in unity in his ministry because praying together is the power that moves the arm that moves the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for these people that raised their hand and even some at home who raised their hand. We don't have to be face-to-face to pray together. And I ask, Lord, that you will be, you'll work in our hearts so we're faithful at this. The early church devoted themselves to prayer. Help us, Lord, to devote ourselves to prayer. Help us, Father, to be able to come to you with united hearts, to plead with you, to release your power and to produce your fruit, so that even in this pandemic, when our nation so desperately needs you, when our church so desperately needs you, we might together come before you and beg from you to release your power and to do your work, and to glorify your name among us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is a presentation of Life Point Church. Our goal is to encourage and equip people to become fully developing followers of Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.